Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture again comes from Matthew and is one of the parables. In this parable, Jesus talks about weeding the garden. Have you often thought about how people will say, if God is so good, why does he allow evil people in the world? Well, I think this parable addresses that. He allows us to become fruitful at the end, and then he makes the decision on whether we're evil or not. Matthew 13, 24 through 30, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds, weeds among the wheat, and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Yet let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Going on to Matthew 13, 36 through 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom. Everything that causes sin, and all who do evil, they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Bless the hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Those of you who are gardeners are familiar with Murphy's first law of gardening. When weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground very easily, it is a valuable plant. And of course, there's a corollary to that law. To distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything in the garden. What grows back are weeds. Last week we dealt with the parable of the sower, and we learned that there are different kinds of soil that produce different kinds of results. Today we're confronted with the question, what do you do with the weeds? Because we know that those who have ever tried to plant a flower garden or a vegetable garden or even a plain ordinary lawn, the seeds are going to come without a doubt. And if you take Jesus literally, this is a very scary parable. The weeds are going to be thrown on a fire and burn. Now Jesus isn't giving us a guide to growing good wheat. He's talking about human behavior. But one thing is for sure, in this scenario, we do not want to be wheat or weed. It's like the story, and I don't know if this is exactly right, so some of you who have Roman Catholic backgrounds can straighten me out, but I pick on everybody equally if you've been here before. In Roman Catholic Church, I've been told that 7 is the tradition of the age of reason. When children reach 7, they are expected to attend Mass on a regular basis and go to confession. Because they are 7, they are accountable for their sins. So one 5-year-old girl was impressed when she learned that that was the age of reason. And when her older brother turned 7, she went to him and greeted him. She said, happy birthday, Matthew. Now you can go to hell. What an honor. Now that he's 7 and he's got an age of reason, he can be bound for Satan's dominion in his life. But let's be clear about one thing. Judgment is an important part of life. Someone was commenting on an often heard remark, everything happens for a reason. Then this observer said, yes, and the reason is found in Galatians 6:7. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The reason some things happen to us is that we are reaping what we have sown in our lives. Judgment is a fact of life. You play, you pay, as we say in the common vernacular. Not always, of course, but that is often the case in our lives. In the movie The Last Emperor, the young child anointed at the last emperor of China lives in a magical world of luxury with 1,000 eunuch servants at his command to do everything that he wants, his every bidding. And his brother asks him, what happens if you do something wrong and deserve punishment? He said, well, when I do something wrong, someone else is punished. So he picks up a jar and he breaks it, and then a servant is taken and beaten. What a neat system if you are the emperor. You do the crime, someone else does the time. We can say that that doesn't happen in real life, but in a sense, it does. We often are innocent people punished for the sins of someone who is a drunk driver, and they get killed or maimed in a car accident. How many innocent children suffer because of the sins of abusive parents that beat them and hurt them physically or emotionally or even sexually? How many spouses suffer because of the waywardness of their partner, running around on them, cheating on them? Usually, however, we reap what we have sown. There's a bumper sticker with this message. You've probably seen it before. Honk if you love Jesus. Text while driving if you want to meet Jesus. That's an example of reaping what we have sown. However, if we get hit by that texting driver, we have reaped what someone else has sown. Not fair, but it happens. You and I may look at this parable and say it's a horrible that the weeds get thrown into the fire, but that is the way life is. It's absurd to try to sugarcoat reality. If you plant a bad seed, no use praying for a good harvest. If you plant marigolds, no use praying for roses to grow instead. Most of the time, you're going to get what you sow. Or someone has said, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, maybe it's because the neighbors are taking better care of their lawn. What is dangerous is trying to figure out what other people are going to reap in their lives. Some people take delight in separating people into acceptable and unacceptable. And it's hard not to get caught in to that trap, even for me. Worthy and unworthy, good and bad, wheat and weeds. Notice what happens in this parable. The landowner's servants come to him, tell him that the weeds in his wheat, and ask him if he wants them to pull up the weeds. The landowner tells them, no, wait until the harvest, and then we will separate the wheat and the weeds. Harvesting the wheat in Jesus' times was very arduous work. The harvesters would use sickles. They would bend over and cut the wheat just above the ground. But what happens if the weeds are growing in the midst of the wheat? We're told that the weeds in Jesus' parable were a poisonous variety called bearded darnel. In the early stages of growth, this bearded darnel so resembles the wheat that you literally could not tell the difference in the two. Later, when it is possible to distinguish between them, the roots of the wheat and weeds are so intertwined that one could not be pulled up without tearing up the other. Drip up the weeds would also be to destroy the growth of the wheat. So the landowner was being wise when he said, no, let them grow up together until the harvest. So the harvesters were not allowed to try to separate the weeds from the wheat until it was time for the harvest. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, a constant theme in Jesus' teaching is that his followers were not to spend their time trying to pass their judgment on others. Traditionally, the primary sin of highly religious people is that of being self-righteous and judgmental towards others whom they disagree with. And we have a tendency to judge for ourselves who is fit for the kingdom and who is not, who is spiritual and who is worldly. That's a dangerous tendency. And I want to suggest three reasons why we cannot be the ones to decide who is wheat and who is a weed. First of all, we should not judge others because we ourselves are not totally acceptable. Writer Kent Crockett tells about a married couple who pull into a filling station or a gas station that is full service to refuel his car. As the tank was being filled, the gas station attendant began to wash the windshield. Some of you remember those days. When he finished, the husband stuck his head out the window and said, "It's still dirty. Wash it again." The attendant said, "Yes, sir," and began to wash the window again. And when he did, he said, "It's still dirty," and his voice became rather gruff at the attendant. So he washed it again. He said, "It's still dirty. Wash it again." So he washed it again. He said, "Can't you get it right? It's just a window. Can't you clean my windshield properly?" He said, "Clean it again." By that time, his wife reached over, took his eyeglasses off and a tissue out, cleaned his glasses, put them back on his face. He said, "Oh." So it wasn't the attendant's fault to begin with. It was his own fault for not having clean eyeglasses. But he was blaming someone else. Matthew 7:1 says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured back unto you." We forget that when we judge others, we are looking through a smudged lens on our glasses and not seeing everything as clearly as we think we are. Sometimes when we criticize, we are criticizing others unfairly. We don't know all their circumstances or their motives and what is going on in their lives or what has happened to them in their lives to bring them to this point. Only God, who is aware of all the facts, is able to judge that person correctly and righteously. Jesus said that we have enough to do to look at ourselves and to judge ourselves instead of spending all our time judging someone else. We're not to judge others, first of all, because we are not perfect ourselves. Leave it to God to judge who is wheat and who is weed. But there's a second, even more important reason we're not to judge others. When we pass judgment on others, we distance ourselves from the person we may be trying to help and even bring into the kingdom of God. I think one of the worst forms of judgment I've witnessed in a long time, and we keep seeing it on television, the news, ABC News, Fox News, whatever, just over and over again, is these people who are standing outside of the funeral for slain soldiers who've been killed in battle and holding the signs up. And that's all I'm even going to say about it, because I just think how horrible. Who are you going to bring into the kingdom of God by doing that? So narrow-minded, so hateful. Who's going to want to join a church? Who's going to want to come into the kingdom of God with such venom spewing out of their mouth from their signs, such hate? Where is the love in all that? We're all familiar with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Do you remember John 3:17, though? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save people. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And so it is with us. We are not to spend our time in judging others into the kingdom of God. Our task is to love people, to witness to people, and try to draw them by love and mercy and kindness and good deeds into the church, into the kingdom of God. You see, the real problem with passing judgment on others is that it does not allow us to be the vehicles of God's grace that He has called us to be. And our central task is to help other people experience the God's grace that we have experienced in our own lives that has brought us to this point. We cannot do that if we come across with a condemning, hateful attitude. Besides, we simply don't know what kind of hurts other people may have experienced in their life, what kind of psychological or emotional hurt they may have. Ken Collins, a pastor in Kentucky, was working one day around his barn, and a squirrel came running past him, chirping, and ran into the barn and came back out, and there's a tree. He ran over to that tree and he spread his legs out like, you know, you see squirrels do. And then he ran away. Then he came back over towards Ken. And Ken thought, this squirrel must be rabid. So he grabbed a little big stick in case the squirrel came towards him to attack him. Then the squirrel came again and he spread out his legs again. And he saw the squirrel wanted to climb that tree, but he couldn't. And he looked and he saw blood running from the chest of the squirrel. Someone had shot the squirrel, and he was wounded, and he could not climb the tree to get into his nest. And Reverend Collins whispered this to the Lord. He said, "Lord, what message is there in this scene for me?" He said, then in the quietness of his own heart, he said he felt like the Lord spoke to him and said, "Ken, you just witnessed a squirrel that was unable to climb a tree because it was wounded. I have a lot of children who have been wounded by Satan, but they are still my children. Do not condemn them because you do not understand, but do all you can to help them now that you do understand." F.B. Meyer once said that when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things that we do not know. First, we don't know how hard he or she may have tried not to sin. Second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed that person. We also do not know what we would have done in the same circumstance. The teaching of the parable is very clear. There will come a time when the wheat and the weeds are separated at the end of time in the judgment. God alone will decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. But only God is in the position to condemn which is which. In the meantime, let us focus within the church on what God has called us to do. To love all people and to witness to the amazing grace of God is shown in the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen.